2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Guys, welcome to the DFS Army MMA Killshot podcast. I'm your host, the Daily Fantasy Sniper, and we have UFC 229 to talk about. With me, as always, Kyle Marley, at Big Marley 3, Eric Forsland. I just changed his Twitter name, so I have to remember it. I think it's at Cash Assassin MMA, or at MMA Cash Assassin. I think it's the last one. So these podcasts are usually for VIPs only. We're going to break down the entire card. But here in the free section, we're going to do the main card of UFC 229, a card everyone is super excited about for DFS, with a $100,000 first place prize in the $10 tournament. And just hardcore fight fans, Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Everybody weighed in. It looks like it's going to happen. Nobody's tripped over a weird cord. I think we're going to have this main event. Before we talk about DFS, Kyle, how excited are you just for this card?
I'm so excited, man. I cannot wait. I wish the fights were tonight. And we got $100,000 to chase, so we're not going to get that a lot in our lifetime for MMA DFS, I'm guessing. So I am pumped to chase it. I'm pumped to watch these fights, and I can't wait to see how this main event plays out.
Eric, I know you're excited. You're saying this is the most excited you've ever been for a card. You got any special plans for tomorrow night?
I have to go to the liquor store and get beer. So I'm kind of attacking a little bit differently in the sense that I'm probably only going to take a couple shots at the $10. I actually am maxing out the $4 because that's at the $4.20 max. That's actually a pretty good payout. That's got $3K for first. I can't, my bankroll's not high enough to do 150 lineups. So I figure I'll get better correlation and better chance at the $4 one.
Right. So before we get into the fights, guys, as I mentioned before, this part of the podcast is for everyone. It's free. If you want to become a DFS Army VIP, go to the membership page. Use any one of our codes. My code is Sniper. Kyle's code is Sleeveless. Eric's code, I believe, is God. I'm sorry, Eric. Is your code Forsland?
Yes.
Forsland. Whoever you like best in this podcast, plug in their code as long as you join us. Obviously, the full podcast, Research Station with all kinds of prop breakdowns, Domination Station, Optimizer, not just for MMA. You get this, you know, it's one price for all sports. We're not like other sites where you get just sport packages. Become a DFS Army VIP, NFL, MLB is in the playoffs, but NBA is coming up, NHL has started, all that good stuff. Check out the membership page. And until then, or you want to do it while you're listening to the podcast, let's get into some fights. Let's start with the first fight on the main card. Elise Herrig, 8,300, taking on Michelle Waterson at 7,900. Herrig is the favorite in this fight, but it is small. It's basically a pick 'em, minus 115 for Herrig, depending on the site, minus 100, plus 105 for Waterson. For me, I think that Herrig's strength is going to be too much here. Waterson is a natural atom weight. It's 105 pounds. This fight is at 115. I think Herrig's going to get this in the clinch. Waterson goes for that head and arm throw, which you just hate to see in mixed martial arts, but it's still a thing in women's MMA. I just think Herrig ultimately is going to be too strong for her. This is, I should have mentioned this in the top. The way we're going to do this podcast, I'll give a quick intro, just like that one. Kyle's going to cover our tournament, his tournament strategy. And mixing some cash stuff, but primarily on tournaments, and vice versa for Eric. He's going to focus on cash games, and I'll throw in kind of some general wrap-up strategy for myself at the end. So now the intro's over. Let's start with GPPs for this fight. Kyle, where are you going for Herrig and Waterson?
This is definitely my least favorite of the three women fights on the card. I just don't think the winner's going to score very highly. But my pick's going to be Herrig, man. if you've seen her arms, dude, she better be team sleeveless because her arms are bigger than mine, dude. I'm jealous. I want them. So I'm really picking her just because of her arms here. But one weird thing is, both these fighters average 72.2 DraftKings points. I don't know if I've ever seen that happen. But I think it's about where we're going to see the winner score. So, I think you could fade this fight. You could really, whichever side you like, but I think, Watterson's going to need to get a submission to like be on the $100,000 lineup. And Herrig's probably going to need, to get a lot of takedowns and advances and everything like that. And I don't really see her getting the finish. I think Watterson has the better shot at a finish. I just don't love this fight overall, but Herrig and her fucking ripped arms are my pick.
I had myself on mute. I was chewing. You had me laughing. I know it was dead silence there, but that was fun. Eric, cash games. Is this a fight you're looking for, cash games at all?
Well, I mentioned it in my article. I mean, in tournaments, I think I'm probably going to have faded or like teeny tiny bit of ownership, depending on how many lineups I'm doing. I kind of think if you're like left with like one spot left, I don't mind using it in cash. It's not my preferred play. My lean is Herrig, but I could see Watterson. I mean, I think it's going to just be a low scoring decision. So if you are having a side, I don't mind using one of them in cash. I actually think that's like probably a better cash play because, I mean, if you think Herrig's going to win, because I mean, I kind of think the odds are kind of off. Like I think she should be favored by more, but. I mean, if she ends up like, you know, tomorrow and she's like a 150, 160, 175 favorite, I don't mind using her in cash. She's not in my lineup right now, but.
Yeah, I would say that just to wrap this one up, I think they're both fine cash plays because of the floor, because it should go the distance, but I'm not excited about it at all. And I agree with Kyle, it's not excited about it. I'm going to have, some shares of Herrig because I think she's more likely to end up in the optimal lineup. I won't have a lot of Watterson at all. All right, next up, a fight that is the next two fights are huge for GPPs in my opinion. We have Alexander Volkov 8,700 taking on Derek the Black Beast Lewis at 7,500. Volkov's the favorite about -210. Fight should end inside the distance. Heavyweights. Although we've seen some awkward heavyweight fights lately, these two got into it a little bit at weigh-ins. Volkov 4-0 in the UFC, impressive win last time out against Fabricio Werdum. Outside of a win against Tim Johnson, that was his UFC debut, he scores pretty well, although I think he lost the Tim Johnson fight. Volkov is 30-6 in his career. He has plenty of Bellator fights before he came to the UFC. And this is actually what worries me about him, because everyone's on Volkov. We know Lewis has had back issues. We'll touch on his history in a second. But Volkov wasn't a world beater at Bellator. He's got a really good win against Fabricio Werdum. I get it. Werdum just, you know, didn't look great in that fight, fourth round finish. Struve, Roy Nelson, you know, are solid heavyweight wins. But Derek Lewis is different in that. Dude's got some of the most vicious ground and pound you're going to see. And at 7,500, if his back is right, he's certainly live to win this fight. He knocked out Marcin Tybura, which I rate Tybura probably highly the most people, I think. The Ngannou fight was a travesty, but he won it, so take that for what you will. You know, knock it over Travis Brown, but he has looked bad against guys like Shamil Abdurakhimov. So it's a long-winded way of saying a heavyweight. This is one of the fights that I'm going to have both sides of. I'm picking Volkov to win because I think Lewis said he's going to throw it all away in the first round. He's going to look for that finish to redeem himself from that Ngannou performance. So Lewis is live to a first round knockout. Volkov, though, is my pick to win the fight. I think ultimately the volume gets it done. But I have more hesitation than most. I think I'm going to be underweight to the field on Volkov the more I think about it. Just because of his past history, I know he's on a good run, but is he really a top five heavyweight? I'm kind of having a hard time seeing it. For this one, we'll start with Eric in cash games because I think it's going to be pretty quick. There's no way you're going near this fight in cash games, is there?
No, and actually I mentioned in my article, if it wasn't such a, like if the inside distance prop wasn't, you know, there's not a ton of, I mean, there's a lot more fights on this card that are supposed to go to decision than inside the distance. I actually would consider fading it kind of, because I think Lewis is going to be kind of popular. But he's kind of dependent on that one punch knockout, and I'm sure Kyle's going to talk about that. But no, I'm not touching any of this in cash.
How about our tournaments, Kyle?
Yeah, I do like this fight overall in tournaments because they're heavyweights. It does only take one shot for these guys. So I think you do have to have some exposure to it if you're making multiple lineups. If you're making one lineup and you're chasing that 100,000, I don't think you need to have this in there. But I think you could also choose either side you want. I think Lewis, if he gets that first round knockout, he's for sure be on that $100,000 lineup. So I think he's almost more important to have. But Volkov's my favorite player of the two because I think he's going to win. I also don't think he's going to be too highly owned. So I'll probably be above the field on Volkov, but not by much. And then Lewis, I don't know. I don't really know how owned he's going to be, but I'm guessing I'm going to be pretty even with the field on him as well. But he's going to be the only must of the two, because if he gets a first round knockout, he's for sure on the winning lineup. If Volkov gets a first round knockout, he could maybe not end up on it, but he likely would. So if you're making 10 lineups, I'd probably go like 3 Volkov, 2 Lewis, something like that. Or if you like Lewis to win, more with him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I'm a little less Volkov, but that's about right here. At least for my lineups. Next up, Dominic Reyes, 8,900, taking on Ovince St. Preux, who is 7,300. Dominic Reyes, the big hype train coming in, minus 230. First real test here. He's got first round wins over Jared Cannonier. I really should just pull it up, try to remember these scrubs that he's fought. But I think it was Jeremy Kimball was one of them. And Joachim Christensen is the one I can't remember. Scored at least 107 points in every fight he's been in. For all first round finishes, this is a step up though. Ovince St. Preux, on the other hand, you know, I think Tyson Pedro could have beat him if he just stayed at range. We saw Corey Anderson beat him for 2 rounds before OSP pulled out a KO. I actually think that, you know, I've had disagreements with ownership with people, and I think this is one that I want to circle back to ownership-wise on the VIP side of this. How heavily owned is Dominic Reyes going to be? I think OSP might actually be a little popular here, but honestly, Kyle's better with the ownerships than I am. We'll ask him about that on the VIP side. In terms of the fight breakdown, though, I don't think OSP scores very highly even in his wins, except when he pulls submissions. I don't think he does that here. I think Reyes is the real deal. Huge guy for 205, explosive. Looks like he hits hard. Looks like he has good striking. Has some submissions in his game. Nothing not to like here about Reyes except the huge step up at 8,900. I'm definitely interested. Kyle, how about for you in tournaments?
Yeah, man, I think Reyes is the real deal as well, and I think this is the partnership to see how good he really is, because it should be a striking match between two dangerous strikers, and it's hard not to like Reyes. I mean, 8 of his 9 wins are in the first round, so probably his most likely outcome of getting a win in this fight as well. So that's over 100 points. That makes him one of my favorite plays on the card. But again, these are big boys, kind of like Lewis, man. It's only going to take one shot for OSP to end up on that optimal lineup as well. So I think this is a fight that you just target both sides of. For me, it's more of a hedge than my Reyes lineups, but I do need some OSP exposure because I'm going to be so heavily invested in Reyes. So I like this fight. It's one of my favorite fights on the card to target, and I'm looking forward to seeing how good Reyes really is.
Yeah, if you're going to go – so just throwing an example. If you're playing 10 lineups, if you're really high on Reyes and you're going to play 7 of them, then I would play an OSP as a hedge, maybe even 2. If you're, you know, just going to mix in Reyes as your normal type of favorite, like 4 – maybe 5, then I actually don't think you need OSP. I'd mix in some other dogs. I think what Kyle's talking about is a hedge play. How much Reyes do you have and kind of protect yourself? How about for cash games, Eric?
You know, earlier in the week, I talked about this in my article. I actually had Reyes in my cash lineup. The only thing that's kind of making me reluctant on it is inside the distance prop, and OSP does have knockout power, so it's kind of making me rethink that. but I really like him as a play in general. I mean, I love him in tournaments. Our domination or our research station likes him a lot. I think he's one of our highest projected scores up there. So, I like him. I'm just not sure if I'm confident enough to pull the trigger just with that inside the distance prop. But I mean, if you want to get risky, I mean, I could see using him in cash if you want.
All right. Moving on. We have our co-main event of the evening. Tony Ferguson, 9,300, doing his weird, crazy workouts, taking on Anthony Showtime Pettis at 6,900. Showtime is the former featherweight champion who needed a towel to make lightweight today. It's really strange what's going on with him. Ferguson back from his knee injury, probably way too fast. All things in a take those, put them in a vacuum. Ferguson, 10-fight win streak. He's beaten guys like Kevin Lee, RDA, Edson Barbosa, Gleison Tibau. These are some legit wins. I know Pettis says he's in a career resurgence. Ferguson all around just should be better. What's interesting here, though, is that Pettis has the tools to at least make this competitive everywhere. Like, on the feet, Pettis has that flashy type of style. We've seen the Showtime kick. And Ferguson has been clipped before. We saw Venata clip him. It's another fight that he was hurt in. I'm not remembering. We've seen him hurt in the past, though, is the point here. You've been taken down against Kevin Lee. Obviously, it's a whole different story. Pettis isn't going to grapple him like that. Ferguson's 10th Planet BJJ black belt. Pettis also a black belt. If I don't know who the instructor is, I know he's at Rufus Sport for his MMA. But he's slick on the ground. We've seen Pettis hit plenty of submissions, triangles. He submitted Charles Oliveira, which is no small feat. Although Oliveira just quits, but that's for a different day. Look, Ferguson's 9,300. I want to just plug him in, but this knee injury scared me off. And some people can just get by it. You see the crazy workouts he's doing. He's clearly motivated, has a chip on his shoulder. All things I get, and I'm not totally down on him. Pettis is still a high caliber fighter. I know he's been on the decline, but I don't think I'm going to be able to full fade Anthony Pettis. But Tony Ferguson is absolutely my pick here. He should just be better everywhere. Eric, is Tony Ferguson going to fit in your cash lineups? Is he viable? And is Pettis a viable punt if you want to go that route?
I haven't really toyed with Pettis in cash per se. I do like him as like a lone tournament play. I like Ferguson in cash. The problem I'm having is if you're going to go that route, you're most likely probably going to end up with technically three punts in your lineup. So are you confident in those three punts? I mean, I'm saying technically because there's going to be a fight coming up that you're going to understand why it's technically a punt. But I just don't know if I'm going to go that route.
Punt is different than underdog to me, though. Punt is like 7,200 under.
Like, yeah.
Punt is way down there. And Ferguson.
Or underdogs. Well, I mean, do you want that many? I mean, it just depends on how your roster construction is. I mean, because some people are just trying to get as many favorites in as they can, and that's not always the way to go.
Gotcha. Kyle, how are you approaching tournaments for this co-main event?
Yeah, like you said, I don't think I can completely fade Pettis either. Ferguson's hittable, and Pettis has power. So he could get a knockout here. It wouldn't completely shock me. I do think the line's a little bit too wide. But Ferguson, man, I just love the pace that he sets. I'm really looking forward to watching this fight. He's one of my favorite plays on the card. And the way I see it is just him putting a pace that Pettis can't keep up with. And a lot like the Holloway-Pettis fight, I think he's just going to take too many shots and fall over, curl up, and the fight's going to be called that way. So I think Ferguson's going to get a late stoppage here. Probably get over 100 points, and he's one of my favorite plays if you can afford him, but I'm not going to completely fade Pettis either.
Yeah, we'll talk about the other high price guy and compare them in a little bit, but let's go on to the main event. Reason why, if we have a bunch of new people listening, this is probably the reason. Habib the Eagle Nurmagomedov, 8,400, taking on the notorious Conor McGregor at 7,800. The line keeps widening. People are expecting it to go the other way, and when's all the Conor money going to come in? I don't think it's going to. I think we're here. Habib Nurmagomedov is minus 175. On some books, on the Greek online, he's minus 190. Which, wow, I thought this fight probably should be lined closer. I'm going to look. I've done a couple podcasts, public ones this week in other places, just doing regular betting breakdowns and all that stuff that people have heard, not just from me, but tons of places. We all know the fight breakdown. I think that's been beaten to death, and I'm personally pretty sick of hearing about it. As excited as I am for this fight, there's only so many ways to go about it. You could break this fight down in a sentence, or you could do it in an hour. We could do a whole podcast just on this fight, the technical aspects. But we're here to talk about DraftKings. How are we approaching it? So let's go piece by piece here. I'll do the quick fight breakdown. Connor's got to finish this on the feet. Habib needs to get it to the ground. We all know that. Is Connor's wrestling better than we think? Can Habib take a punch? Is Habib going to pressure? Those are the variables that I think we're all kind of aware of. 8,400, 7,800 are really the important numbers. Eric, let's start with you one more time. We'll go for cash games. Cash games, if you're new to DraftKings DFS, this is the free guys, so bear with me, VIPs. Your head-to-heads, your 50-50s and double-ups. A viable strategy is stacking, playing both guys in the main event. Guarantee yourself a win. Higher upside, you're not going to get burned. Or you can go one or the other, etc. So, Eric, are you looking to lock on one of these guys into your lineup, or do you have the stack in play?
I'm just auto-locking the stack. This is, I mean, it's been a while since, I mean, if you guys have been listening to our pods lately, the main events have not been ones we've liked stacking. I think it's just, I mean, this fight's too close to call based on the odds. I mean, what's going to happen? Whoever wins this fight's going to score huge. So I'm just not going to, I'm not going to pick a side. I'm going to let people, you know, hopefully there's some new people, maybe just pick Conor McGregor and don't pick Khabib. So I'd rather just have the edge, and I'm just going to have both sides of it and move on.
Okay, I am going to disagree with you. And this is good because I want to add a little bit kind of what we talk about on the other side. I want to be too vanilla here. For me, yes, one of these guys is going to score huge. The other one's not going to score very well. So now you're going to look at 110 points, 115 points for a stack. For me, that's not good enough. The stack is very common. You're going to see it in tons of your head-to-heads. For me, I would rather fade the main event than I would stack it. I know that's crazy. It's not a popular opinion. But for me, the stack, there's other places I could go that I feel decent about. If you were really confident one side of this fight, by all means, play one of these guys. Absolutely. In this card, I don't know if I want to throw away a roster spot for 110 points total. That's a decision you have to make, but for me, that's why the stack to me doesn't seem great. But I do think Eric's on the chalkier side for sure. Kyle, how about for you for tournaments? Or if you want to berate me for what I just said.
Yeah, I'll start with you first.
Yeah.
So that's not what the stack is about, man. You take your 100 plus points guaranteed right there, and you got to win. Take your loss, take your win, but you have 100 plus points right there. If you could just go ahead and get four wins without stacking a fight on every card, you should just go and gamble, because four bets is going to give you a winning night. Four to two, you'll have a great night that way, but it doesn't work that way. People are not always right with their picks. I'm great at picking fights, and I'm not always right. So stacking gives you the guaranteed win of 100 plus points. You let everyone else make the mistakes. If you're not right with your six different fights, then you don't have the guaranteed 100. All I have to do is get three other fights right, and I beat you. So that's what it's about. And it doesn't have to be the main event, but stacking in cash is huge. And you're almost at a disadvantage now if you don't do it because it's so popular. This is just the best one for it because it is 100 plus guaranteed. It's not going to get you the 160 if that's what you're looking for, but you're guaranteed 100. You got to win. I love stacking in cash. Tournaments though, man, I think this is just whoever you like, go heavier on them, but you need to have exposure to both guys. If you're making 10 lineups, this needs to be in all 10. You can go 7-3 for the guy that you're heavier on. I would prefer 6-4, if not even 5-5. Again, I don't really want to trust in either guy enough. Like, I don't know if my pick's going to be right. So just give me both guys. That way, if you're doing 10 lineups, at least you got 5 with the winner if you do 5-5. So I'm just going to kind of play it safe, go that route. But I highly recommend you stack this fight in cash.
We can disagree. Usually, a lot of times I'm on team stack. It's just this is...
Well, this is a long-term game, though. So it's almost like anytime the stack works, you got to plug it in. And if you're getting your cash lineup and you're looking at what you get every time, if you don't stack every time compared to if you do stack every time, I guarantee your average is going to be higher on your stack. Because whether you want to admit it or not, you probably make more mistakes.
I'm not saying I'm a perfect picker, perfect gambler.
Yeah, me either.
That's just crazy. Problem.
Yeah, I don't want to trust in myself either. So just give me that 100, and that way I don't have to worry if my pick is right or not.
But
I'm gonna be. I haven't even picked who I think is gonna win. But I'm a Connor fan, so I'm just gonna be rooting for Connor. I'm gonna pick him to win. But I'm gonna be heavily invested in the Khabib as well. So what I'm really going to be rooting for is whatever lineup has the best chance at 100K going into that fight. That's who I'll be rooting for. If I have no shot at it, go Connor.
So is it totally crazy then if you're not super confident, if you're going to split, is there merit to fading this fight in cash if you feel better about other spots?
So I don't hate, like, all right,
because that was more of my point, is that there's so much volatility here,
but you're still going with 6 different fights, and if you're fading it, unless you're going to stack another fight, that's the only reason I would be fading this main event, is if there was another fight that was guaranteeing me 100 plus but gave me a higher ceiling. But we also do have that ceiling with the Khabib McGregor. It's just only if Khabib wins, really, because he could put up the 160 by himself. McGregor, at least you're locking in your 100 plus. Your ceiling's just not as high, but that's the important part, is getting the 100 plus. Because if you pick 6 fighters and 2 of your winners get 100, what good does that do you when everyone else who stacked already has their 100 plus, and then they got just whatever else you're going to plug in your lineup, but it's going to be safer. And I think a lot of the cash lines are going to be pretty similar this week with the odds value that we're getting. And more people than not, the sharper players are going to be stacking this for sure. And I think those are the players you want to be worried about in cash. You're not really trying to, you know, beat them. You just want to be in line with them because they're likely going to win more than they're not. Let's beat the casuals. Let's let them make the mistakes. We play it safe. That's how I like to pick it. I kind of call it like playing bookie. Let me just guarantee the win. I'll let everyone else make the mistakes. You know, my stack is like the VIG.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
Can I throw my 2 cents in just real quick on the stack idea? with why I like it. I mean, look at like, if we're going to, and I know a lot of people only compare this, but if you look at like last season long and the season long we're doing this year, I noticed there's been a couple cards where I haven't stacked and stuff this year, and I'm not doing as good. Last year, I think I ended up tying for like 3rd place, and I pretty much stacked just about every card. And I think I averaged like right around 400 some points a card. So in the long run, stacking is the way to go, I think.
Gotcha.
Absolutely.
Just touching on what Kyle said for tournaments, I agree with you really hard that I want to drive this point home, and then we'll go to the VIP section, is that if you're playing, I'm going to say 30 or more lineups, then I'd go with more of an even split. Otherwise, it's all about leverage in DFS for me. If you're playing, you know, 29 or less, or you know, typically 20 lineups, I would go closer to the 6-4, even the 7-3, just to get more opportunities the guy I like to win. I know I'm hurting myself if there's a loss there, but if I don't have enough lineups to cover all the bases when I'm just splitting, I'd rather try and get have more chances to find the optimal with the guy I like. That's just the way I'm viewing this fight with this giant GPP we're all chasing. I want to have more shots of. In this case, I am picking Khabib as well. So I would like more shots with Khabib. Of course, Conor is cheaper. I'm going to have plenty of shares of Conor McGregor as well. All right, so that's it for the free part of the VIP, or the free part of the MMA Kill Shot podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. If you are not a member, please sign up, listen to the rest of this episode. If you are, just give us 1 second, and we will continue with our UFC 229 breakdown.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.